Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, with South Africa's growth forecast downgraded to just 1.5% by the International Monetary Fund for this year and internal uncertainty mounting, it's fair to say, I think, that the country urgently needs a new or at least a well-serviced economic engine. And for Phumzile Chifunyise, the managing director of Simodisa, it's a collaborative research and policy design organization, that engine is very clear: high growth startups. She believes that these are the companies that can drive jobs, attract investment, and as a result generate meaningful GDP contributions. But the sense is they're being throttled by outdated policies, heavy red tape, and risk-averse funding institutions. So let's dive into that story. Phumzile, good evening to you and a very warm welcome. So if high growth startups are so critical, according to your argument, why do so few scale successfully?
Hi, Jeremy. Thank you so much for having us and good evening to your listeners. Yeah, I think you painted the picture quite well. We at Simodisa, we are the secretariat of the SA Startup Act movement, and we are essentially a group of high growth tech startups, investors, academia, as well as just supporters of high growth startups that are looking to see more and more of these specialized businesses increase in the country. We know that they grow at an accelerated rate. These are businesses that generate 100 million in the first 5 years. They specialize in technology. They're either focused on technology or they're enabled by technology, and they spend a lot of their resources on research and innovation, and they're generally funded by private investors. And I suppose back to your question as to why are they so few, I think as you outlined, first of all, the understanding of what a high growth tech startup is in the country is a little bit complex and nuanced in the country. We traditionally know startups to be businesses that are small, that are starting out, whereas as we are seeing in the global context and model, as well as even in the continent, tech startups are businesses that really grow at an accelerated rate. You think of traditional startups such as your Googles, your Metas. In South Africa, we've had quite a few, your Time Banks, Sweep South, Clickatel, Yoko, and the list goes on. However, then there's not a lot of them. There's just under 500 of them. And the economic climate of the country is one such that they can't really grow at that fast pace if they are leveraging only on the South African market. So the market is not big enough. And then number two, our regulatory and policy framework in South Africa is a little bit challenging. We've got red tape. If they want to bring in capital from offshore, the process to get the funds into the country as well as to deploy to invest. Business is quite onerous. You also have little incentive for private capital investors to invest into early stage startups, where a lot of them that are coming up are. So we need to increase incentives towards that, as well as the limited skills in this particular sector. A lot of the skills is offshore. Yeah, so
all
I
right. All of that makes sense. But let me pick you up on the red tape thing. I often feel that this has become a catch-all excuse for any kind of obstacle. Is red tape really the problem, or often is it just weak local business models that are perhaps more to blame?
I do agree. We've somehow managed to overuse the word, and it's become sort of something that a lot of people are hiding behind. But I think it can be a combination. On the regulatory front, you can really do very little to operate and to grow your business if there is, number one, no legislative framework to increase your capacity, how you work, how you get talent into your business, how you get funds into your business. So within the startup environment, there is no legislation that is focused specifically on tech startups. We are seeing that in Africa, there's about 13 countries across the African continent and other parts of the continent that have these startup legislations that really make it easy for businesses to start and to grow and to get funds into their businesses and to equip themselves with the right skills. But if the legal framework is not there to support you, that is red tape. The business models are there, of course. The landscape is quite broad, so you're seeing that in the early stage, these startups within the tech startup realm do really need support in order to know how to capacitate themselves from a legal front, to capacitate themselves from a skills perspective. So, of course, the business model needs to be improved, and it does so the more and more the business grows and as you accelerate up the ladder. However, the business model of a startup is one that is quite strong and that has been successful around the world. So if the model is correct, then the limitations become few. But if the legal framework is the largest barrier, then it's absolutely red tape.
So how then do you start to accelerate that process? And I would also suggest to you that it would be difficult, because this funding pullback that we have referred to is also as much about global conditions, weak global conditions, as much as the local policy that you've just outlined to me.
Absolutely. I mean, we are seeing that the level of foreign direct investment in the country is really slowing down. And of course, it's testament to the economic conditions in the country. Hence why you would have the IMF, who projects such low levels of growth rates, which is far beyond or below the NDP's projected growth rates of 5.4% by 2030. So you're seeing that FDIs being that low means that these startups really aren't able to grow at a rate that we're looking for, yes.
Just a final one then, and let me put you on the spot. Against the backdrop of what you've outlined to me, what is the one policy change that you would like to see from the presidency today that would make a tangible and beneficial difference?
I can give you three and give you two better. Number one, we believe as an ecosystem builder and people that engage with stakeholders, policymakers within government, specifically on a day-to-day basis through various interventions, whether it be dialogues, whether it be our white paper that we've drafted, that number one, we need to have relaxed exchange controls, and having reforms within the exchange controls will be able to make it easier for high growth startups to attract funds from offshore. And it'll also enable local VCs to be able to increase the pool of funds that we bring into the country. Number two, we also believe that we need to have incentives for private investors in the country to invest into, especially early stage startups. We know that we've got various private investor mechanisms that exist, but a lot of them fund your Series A type and level of startup businesses, and very limited of that goes towards early stage startups, and which is where a lot of black tech and digital and innovation based businesses are at. So we need to have some sort of an incentive mechanism that's going to incentivize a private investor and private investment capitals to fund early stage startups. The third one is therefore for there to be a digital skills visa, where we can make sure that startups that are in South Africa are able to employ digital skills, especially those that are not already available in the country.
Lots of food for thought there. Phumzile Chifunyise, thank you very much indeed, Managing Director of Simodisa. I appreciate your time.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.